Hey moms, welcome back to Maintaining the Meat in Marriage and Motherhood. I'm Lashana. I just wanted to start off by saying thank you and that I am grateful for the listeners, and I've been getting a lot of positive feedback and just feedback in general with topic ideas, and the podcast is growing and I'm really happy about that. I definitely wanted to, create some platform for moms and wives that they can just come and listen to some supportive conversations and, give some clarity of thought and maybe some relatability from different moms. And we're all pretty much going through the same thing. So just bringing light to that and just having something to laugh about sometimes and some just a listening ear just to have, other women that are going through life just like you, not celebrity or, people that are out of touch or out of reach, just regular folks going through everyday life, and trying to navigate through all that, find balance and peace and clarity and all those good things. So definitely happy that people have been listening and that we're going to keep this thing going. So today, this was a topic request that I've been getting very frequently about mothers and daughters. And so it started when I had a conversation, like the Life, Love, and Lip Gloss conversation. We're talking about just, in relation to how your childhood affected the way you view relationships. Some of the women have been product of infidelity or divorce, or, they grew up with a single mom or an absent father, or, just living with both parents split up, parents split up. So they were back and forth between parents. And so just different upbringings and how it's actually shaped their idea of relationship. And so I was asked to do this topic for a couple of the women that were there. And then I've been getting a couple of DMs about talking about mothers and daughters. So it's definitely been an issue. It's an issue, and it's an issue in pretty much all communities. It's just mothers and daughters, but especially in the Black community, because we have the higher rate of single parents and the higher rates of divorce. And so we're raised usually by a single mom. And so there's a lot of conflict that people are not learning about conflict resolution within the family. And so I definitely wanted to talk about some toxic patterns of mother-daughter relationships, and not just about your mother, but also about your mothering, what styles you take on. And because no one is perfect, every mom has their challenges with their children, not just with their mother. When you become a mom, you definitely get to see for yourself firsthand how difficult it is to mother children. There's no handbook. We don't get any type of pamphlet, so you have to dive in deep head first, and you don't always know what you're going to get. So there's really no way to prepare yourself for motherhood. You can read books, you can, go to some type of parenting classes or whatever, but until you become a mother, you won't know what you're going to get from your kids. Because as they get older, their needs change. They're developing into their own personality. So, being a mother is a really tough job. It just really is. And so being a mom and having a mom, you can kind of see similarities maybe in your parenting style, some ways that you may want to do things differently. You may have a mom that's a little more overbearing. So, you don't have the flexibility to do your own thing because you're constantly being judged, or, you may have a mom that's just completely unavailable and you don't even know what to do. So there's just so many different types of mothering. And so we're going to go over that. I wrote some notes. I did a little research. I wanted to see what other people were talking about. And I've been asking around to find out different styles and what different issues may be that between mothers and daughters, what they have noticed in their own relationship. And so I'm going to talk about, for one, the type of patterns. And I found this article on Psychology Today. It's called Toxic Patterns in mother-daughter relationships, and you can look it up, and it goes more into detail about each type of these patterns. It gives you more in-depth information about them to identify which ones you may identify the most with. And it doesn't really give solutions so much, but it just kind of describes it. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about solutions and like remedies. This is a long process. It's like, it's a relationship. So as you're growing and learning and going through life, you know, you're learning about different types of relationships, not just with your parents, but just with, you know, your partner, you know, like if you're married, you're learning more about your husband. So these are ongoing skills that you're going to have to learn and tweak as you go, because you're growing and changing and the people around you are growing and changing. So this is not like a quick fix. We're not putting a Band-Aid on it. You know, we're just trying to figure out some things to think about in your relationships so that you can work towards having better relationships. So first I'm going to start by reading off the different patterns that they mentioned. It was 8 different patterns, and kind of some of them kind of coincide with each other. So the first one is the dismissive type. And so the dismissive mother doesn't acknowledge any efforts of the child, like of you. And so you're basically ignored, like your wants, your needs, your accomplishments, anything is pretty much dismissed. The number 2 type of pattern was the controlling mom. So in this mom is as dismissive as the dismissive mom. So basically they're in control over your life, and they don't, it's almost like they feel like what they're doing is for your own good. They know better than you what's good for you. So why even bother? So it's like saying basically the daughter is inadequate. Like you're not capable of making your own decisions about your own life. So your mom makes all the decisions for you. You know, she's in every aspect of your life telling you what to do and doing things on your behalf, you know, without even getting your permission, just making it happen. And so that's the second type of toxic pattern in mother-daughter relationships. The next one is unavailable. So that's the mother that's like disengaged, emotionally unavailable. You can't get help from her. You know, she's either always doing her own thing or she's just not there. Doesn't really like to talk about conflict. You know, she's not really open to listening to how you're feeling or what you're going through. She's just kind of there. There's no real relationship, no connection, just disengaged. The next one is the enmeshed mom, where there's no boundaries. Maybe you live together, do everything together. There's no breathing room with an enmeshed mom. Everything is, you know, together. Vacation together, you live together, grocery shopping, activities, vacation, everything is together. So just totally, the mom is totally enmeshed in your life, where she doesn't even have her own life because she's so deeply involved in your life. That's the Amish mom. The combative mom. So the combative mom is like hypercritical, often jealous and competitive. The hardest type of mom to cope with is the combative mom. Just everything you do is wrong. You know, lots of verbal abuse, emotional abuse. Just every time you're around this mom, she is constantly berating you. You can't do anything right. Critical, you know, criticizes your parenting, maybe your spouse or, you know, every relationship, your career choice, just constantly badgering you about everything. That is the combative mom. The next one is the unreliable mom. This is also a difficult mom to deal with, because they're just unpredictable. You know, sometimes they're there for you, sometimes they're not. You'd never really know what you're going to get. This mom is, there's a lot of anxiety that comes along with this type of pattern, because you don't know whether you're going to get the dismissive mom or the controlling mom or the enmeshed mom. It's like a variety of different mothers that come, the different patterns that come together, and you just never know what you're going to get. And so with those type of moms, it's very difficult to bond and make long-lasting relationships because it's just so much inconsistency in the relationship with your parent that, you know, it makes it really, really hard for you to build relationships and build trust because this, you know, this pattern, it really lacks trust. The next one is the self-involved mother, which is more of like the narcissist who sees her daughter as an extension of herself. So everything you do affects them. So what are their friends going to think about the choice that you make, you know, with your career? What are their friends going to say about who you end up marrying or who you're dating? What are your friends going to say about, you know, what you allow your kids to do or who your kids are? You know, so all of those type of qualities are for the self-involved mom. So really, it's like all about her. Everything you do affects her. It's like, what does this even have to do with you? Everything it has to do with her, who you're dating, what type of school you want to put your kids in. Everything is like, well, why are you going to do that? Or what if so-and-so, you know, sees you doing that? What are they going to think about me? You know, so it's like they can't cut the cord. Just always thinking about how it can affect them and how they're going to look as a result to whatever decisions that you make. So that's the self-involved mom. And then there's the role reversal mom, where you're more of the mother and your parent is more of the child. So there's like there's a role reversal. So you're always in a position of mothering. This is a really common pattern among like mental health challenges in families and alcoholism, drug abuse, where the parent is kind of just unreliable and just checked out, just unavailable, you know, where you're the parent in the situation. You're the responsible one. You may be responsible for paying bills. You know, they don't pay their bills on time. They're always just scattered and everywhere, you know, dating different men and in and out of relationships. And so in this role, for the role reversal, a lot of times, especially if you're the oldest sibling, you end up taking on more of a mothering role, even to your siblings, because the mom is just not available. She's not there. You know, she's off. She's doing her own thing for whatever reason. She's not there. So you take on this mothering type of role. So that just really makes a strain in the relationship and in future relationships, because you've been a mother for so long. There's a lot of resentment that gets built up in these type of patterns. So those are the toxic patterns in mother-daughter relationships, according to Psychology Today. And so I thought those were like pretty dead on for the types of mothers and things that different moms are going through. And even looking at some of these patterns, there may be patterns that you see in yourself. I know for me, definitely the controlling mom. I can be a little controlling at times. And then other times I can be really dismissive. You know, just under parenting in some issues, in some ways, where I can, depending on what I got going on, if I have, you know, a big project going on at my job, or, you know, where I'm just not in tune, especially as the kids are getting older, you know, sometimes I can be very dismissive of what their, you know, whatever their ins and out daily things are. I'm not checking in every single day for every single problem that's going on, you know, so I could, as they're getting older, I can see myself getting a little more dismissive, and which makes me a little more controlling, because it's like, okay, I don't really have time for you to comb your hair right now, so it doesn't really matter what hairstyle you want. We about to get this braided bun going, because I'm not doing hair all week because I got too much to do. I'm not gonna be, you know, so little things like that that are gonna kind of, and I do it in a way that's more me trying to speed up the process of the day. I don't have time for you to pick out an outfit. I don't care about today. I can't care about your creativity. Put those jeans and that sweatshirt on and let's go. I don't have time for that. You know, so in that, it's like it can start off very innocent. But if you're not careful, years can go by of you picking out your kids' outfits and you picking out their activities to match your schedule and, you know, just different things. It's like all of those patterns, you know, on a light scale, you know, are not that big of a deal. But if they're continuous over time, you really can be bridging a gap between the relationship between you and your children. So thinking about some of the patterns you may have experienced as a child, and also really being mindful of the patterns you may be picking up in your own parenting. So I thought that it was a really good article. So you can go back and look at that. And I'll put it in the show notes too, of where I got those toxic patterns of relationship. And the word of the week this week is autonomy. And the reason why I picked that word is because it's really important as a growing individual that you are growing into making decisions for yourself that match your values and your goals. And a lot of times, because, you know, when you're a kid, you're in a family where, you know, if your family goes to church, you go to church. If, you know, your parents pick private school, you go to private school. If your parents say you're going to college and they're still helping you, you know, take care of yourself, then you're going to college. If, you know, your parents favor this profession over that profession because it may be more something for them to brag about, or it may be something that they may feel makes a lot of money, or just something that maybe they did and they want you to carry on their legacy. You know, all of those type of things are happening as you're growing older. But for you to be a sound mind and body person, it's so important for you to be able to make the decisions about your values and your goals for yourself, without internal pressure of guilt and shame or external pressure of family members, friends, opinions about what you're doing. You know, so it's really important to really get to know yourself and figure out some things about yourself. So it's good, you know, to get away for a little bit and be by yourself and kind of just figure out over time. You've got to figure out who you are as an individual, what you like and what you don't like, what you like to eat and what you don't like to eat, you know, where you like to go, where do you like to vacation, some things that you want to do, what are your core values about relationship. You may have grown up in a family of a single parent, but marriage is something that you want for your family, you know, so there's so many different life choices that you have to make. So getting to be one with yourself is like the main important thing. And so a remedy for some of these toxic patterns and mother-daughter relationships, the first thing to do for sure is to change yourself. Focus on yourself. What things can you do? Because a lot of times when you are trying to talk to your parents about things, they don't understand it from your point of view. You haven't even gone through life enough to know exactly what you want to do. And it's okay to feel confused. A lot of times, even if you get to be a grown adult, you can be in your 30s and 40s and still not exactly know what you want to do. You may still be under the umbrella of your parents' opinions and shaping, you know? And so that's how it ends up becoming a toxic pattern, because if you do have a controlling mother who's been controlling from day one, you may have had dreams to go to college. You know, you wanted to go away to school somewhere, you know, out of the country or wherever, or maybe not even go to school at all. But because your mom had that vision for you, because she may be controlling and may be self-involved, you know, she may have thought it was a good idea for you to stay home and go to a community college so that you can stay home and not move out and not go out of her sight, because maybe she's not comfortable with you moving out. You know, so that's something that you may have to deal with. And just looking at some reasons why that control was able to take place. What is it that you need from your parents that you're not able to make your own decisions? So you have to start looking at some things that you need to do, starting with yourself, you know, really figuring out what your values are, really figuring out, you know, what direction you want to take, even if it's no direction, even if it's like, you know what, I do want to go to college eventually, but right now, I'm not really sure what I want to major in, and I just don't want to waste time and money. You know, even with my older son, when he decided that he didn't want to go to college right after high school, at first I was kind of like, well, you need to do something, so what are you going to be doing? And he wanted to go to the military. And so when he got to 10th grade, he went back to school, because he was homeschooled for 8th and 9th grade. When he went back to school, he wanted to do ROTC. So I was like, okay. He went to ROTC, and then he wanted to, they were with the Air Force, more of an Air Force base, ROTC. And I'm like, okay, well, what is your plan? Because if you're saying that now you want to go to the Marines, well, you don't even like to clean your room. Like, I can't even get you to clean up after yourself at home. So how do you expect to go from my house straight into the Marines, which is like the hardest military branch on earth? And so he went and found a program that was called like the Delayed Entry Program. And it's where you work directly with the military and they kind of get them prepared. So they help them with their tests. They take their tests, like a practice test, and they help them study for the test. They help them get ready. So they put them through like a miniature boot camp where they get them up at like 5 a.m. to start working out and doing PT, like personal training. And so once he found that program, he was in 11th grade going into his senior year. And so I was telling him, so once he decided, so he was kind of pretending like he was still going to go to school, but then I started to pay attention to him, to what he wanted. And he was starting to be more clear about what he wanted. And I told him, whatever it is that you want to do, I'm good with it. Just know what you want to do. Don't just say, oh, I'm not going to school. And then you're just going to be sitting in the house, you know, on the internet all day. Like, no, we need to figure out what's your after school plan. What do you plan on doing with your time? Do you plan on working full time? Do you plan on just going straight to the military? Because I still wasn't convinced. Or are you going to go to college, a local college? Or are you going to go to a university? Like, whatever you're going to do, we need to figure this out now. What is going on? Just to keep him on track. And so he started doing his own research and he found the Marine Delayed Entry Program. I went and met with them. At first, my mind was very closed because I was just like, oh, they're going to say whatever, you know, just to get you in. So I didn't go in. I went in very closed-minded because I was just like, there's nothing that you can tell me. I already know that this is not something that I want for my child. So you can talk to me. I'll meet with you, but I'm not listening, basically. And so I went in and I talked to the military person and, you know, he told me about the program. And so my son was telling me like, you know, I'm really interested and is it okay that I do this, pre-entry program? At least it'll let me know whether I can do it or not. And basically that's what the guy was saying. Like, this is a good way to see what they're all about. Like, if they're serious, then they're going to step up. If they're not serious, at least they get a kind of a taste of it and then they can just step down and then they can focus on something else. And so I was like, okay, I was open to it because I didn't really think that he was going to do it. I was like, well, okay, you know, that's fine. And he started to, over the summer, he had a job and then he started to work with the delayed entry program. And so I noticed that he was starting to get up in the mornings. You know, he was waking up early before work, going to do his personal training, then going to work, coming home. Like, he got very organized and focused right away. And so he was still pretending like he possibly wanted to go to college right after high school. And so one day I just told him, I said, you know what? I don't want you to have to feel like you have to lie to me about what you're going to do after school. Like, I mean, what you're going to, you know, after you graduate from high school. I would rather you tell me and then I can help you figure out the best route for you in what you want to do. So if you've made up your mind about what you want to do, which is go to the military straight after school and not go to college. Because my thing was, okay, well, why not? Because I had heard, you know, if you go to college first and then you go to the military, you go in as an officer. And so you skip all the riffraff and all this stuff. So you can just kind of go in, you're already making more money, you know, whatever. And so that was my thing. I was like, okay, once I heard that, I was like, well, why don't you just do that? You can still go to school and then you go, you know, straight in as an officer and then you get your career, you know, whatever. And so at first he didn't say anything. He was kind of just like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, maybe I'll just do that. And then I noticed that he just wasn't enthusiastic about school at all. He had looked at a couple of colleges and he was kind of interested in Texas A&M. You know, there was a couple of colleges that he was kind of looking at, but he wasn't really enthusiastic about college like he was the military. And so I just had to pray and really start to listen to him. And I'm like, okay, what is it that you really want to do? And he's like, I really want to go to the military. I'm like, okay, which branch? He's like, I want to go to the Marines. I'm like, okay, well, I want you to do some research. I need you to show me what your plan of action is once you get to the military. and why don't you want to go in as an officer? I need you to let me know what that is. So I gave him a couple days or weeks or however long it was. He came back to me and he's like, okay, I know exactly what I want to do. He had picked his route, his plan. And he said, well, I don't want to go to college first because I do plan on being in politics. And so if I'm going to be a leader, I'm going to have to go through boot camp. I have to start from scratch. No one respects you if you go in as an officer in leadership because there's people that have been there with each other from day one. And so it's more like a brothership camaraderie type thing where you don't want to come in like already with, your college degree and you already just kind of skip past the boot camp. And, like I want to start from the beginning. And the best way for me to teach is to have actual lived experience. So once he said that, I knew that he knew what he was talking about and he had it figured out in his heart. He knew what he wanted to do. And so from that point, I just got on board. As soon as I got on board, his self-esteem just boosted instantly. I noticed that his grades started going way up. He already was like an average student, average B, C, some A's sometimes, but he was went straight to practically straight A's and B's, but more A's than I'd ever seen him get. And so it instantly, I mean, he started performing, just getting up on time, keeping his room clean. It was like he almost readjusted himself to match his goals. Like once I gave him my blessing, almost, he felt free. Like he could just, okay, now I can just do what I need to do. I don't have to pretend like I'm trying to get into college. Like I can really focus on my career. And in the beginning, he was saying he wanted to do a full career because he wanted to go into politics. And so I believed him only because he's been watching CNN since he was like in the sixth grade every morning. So that's like not typical for a teenager to watch CNN every day. So I knew that politics was his thing. So just in my own experience, me just learning and looking at those toxic patterns, I was like, just me being the mother of wanting to just control their destiny. I didn't want him to make any mistakes, but mistakes are just a part of it. But just that experience alone, because he's so much older than the other kids, it really gave me direction on the type of mom that I wanted to be to the other kids too. So I wanted to hear more from them about what it is that they wanted to do. I wasn't just pressing college, 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 college just because I went to college. I thought that that was the route, So with them, I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna switch it up a little bit. I'm gonna start paying more attention to their personalities and kind of what they wanna do, see where they blossom. And when I did that with him, I mean, it was just like he just went straight for it and he went into the military straight after high school. He's done now. He finished, got an honorable discharge, and he's on his own now. And so he didn't come back home. He went, got his own place. He has his own car. He saved so much money because he wasn't really spending any money. It's like you can't teach your children to be independent and teach them to be independent thinkers and then expect for them to do what you say. It's like, what do you want? You want them to be independent, to be able to pay for their own life, take care of themselves, but then you want them to do everything that you tell them to do. It's like it doesn't work. It doesn't go that way. You have to release some of that control and some of that enmeshment, not be so dismissive in what they want, not being and using your power, because as a parent, you have a lot of power over what your kids can and cannot do. And so just being cautious that you're not misusing your power. So because I could have went a different route if he would have told me, if I would have said, oh no, you're going to college no matter what, and if you don't do what I want you to do, then I'm not gonna support you. I'm not gonna help you. It's so damaging. It's so damaging to your kids when you're not supportive of what they want, and then you use your power to still manipulate them to do what you want them to do by not supporting them. You're their support system. You're the parents. You're the one with the money. You're the one with the control. You're the one with the place to live and the car, usually, to take them where they need to go. So if you're using your power in a negative way by not supporting them in a way because they're not doing what you want them to do, which is not harmful to them. It's not like they're trying to do anything harmful. It's just that they have a different path. And so I try to talk to parents about that because it is very difficult. I mean, I literally had to let go and let God, because who wants their kid to go into the military after high school? My mentality was like, I don't want them to go to war. I see where things are going. I don't want my child to be killed in war. You know, so that's dangerous. Why would you want to do that? You're Black. What are you doing trying to go to the military? You know, so all of my own fears was hindering him from where he felt he could be the most excellent. And so I almost had to take myself out of it, take my fears, my opinions, my thoughts and all my fears and put them to the side so that I could support him in what his journey was for his own life. And now that he's done with the military, now he's living on his own. He has a job and, you know, he just finished a couple months ago. And so now he has a job and he has his car and he just moved into his own place. And, you know, now I'm asking more questions about what it is that he wants to do. What is it that you want to do next? You know, what's going on? There's no pressure. You don't got to come home. You know, you're better off not at home because you can continue your independence. You're a man. You need to learn how to pay bills and be responsible. And I want you to do that. So just asking him like, oh, so what are your plans? His plans are to go to college. Now that he gets his GI Bill, he's like, okay, well, I got to get stable somewhere for a year so that I can work on my veterans packages and, you know, figure that part out. And so now I'm more of a lending ear. He's still doing things that I don't want him to do. He's still making choices that I would not have chosen for him, but he's picked where he wants to live. He's picked his, you know, his, what he wants to do for a year. He's still not, I mean, he's looking at school, but he hasn't decided if he's going to go to school yet. I've already let that go. It's like, okay, well, what do you want to do next? As long as he's not doing anything to harm himself, these are things that he has to learn on his own. And so we have to let some of that control go so that we can have better relationships with our children. So I already got off topic. So let me get back to my notes. Just having realistic expectations. If you are experiencing some negativity in your relationships with your mom or your parents, definitely be realistic about who your parents are so that you know how to deal with them and figure out what place of peace, what it looks like. Where can you go in your relationship that is the most peaceful, that doesn't have you sacrificing your autonomy to be in relationship with your family, with your mom, with your parents, if they're married and it's both of them. You know, it's, you have to think about that, because at the end of the day, you get what you get. You don't get to pick your parents. Your parents are who they are already. So if you can either use that as fuel to get yourself independent, or you can suffer the consequences and stay under their thumb because you're financially dependent on them or you're emotionally dependent on them, you got to move out of that circle. So the next remedy, I would say, after changing yourself and having realistic expectation, is really having honest communication and listening. Listening to what your parents are saying, and also ask to be heard. Ask to have an honest conversation about what it is you don't like about where your relationship is right now, so that you can have that open dialogue. Hey, you know what? I really appreciate everything that you've done for me. You're my parent. You're supposed to do that for me. You're supposed to, you know, feed and clothe me. And, you know, those are things you're supposed to do. However, I do appreciate any extra efforts that you put in or put up with to raise me. You know, I really appreciate that. But I really want to do these things. These are some things that I want to do for my life, that I want to be responsible for. You know, I want to have a family, or I want to take time off of school and figure out what I want to do. I want to travel for 2 years before I go to college, or, you know, whatever it is. Or if you're already a full-on adult and still dealing with your mom, it's like, you got to set boundaries. But in order to set boundaries, you have to be independent. if you are living in the house with your mom and you have children, you're not, there's not two queens in a castle. There's only one queen of a castle. So if you're a princess in the castle, you're going to be treated as such. You're not going to be a fully respected adult under someone else's roof. So sometimes you got to trade in your little princess crown for a queen's crown, even if you have to start in a studio apartment. Even if that means that you have to sacrifice shopping or eating out or going on vacations or whatever reason that you're still at home, babysitting, if you need babysitting, it's very difficult when your mom is your only support system. I'm going to encourage you to not only set boundaries and get financially independent, but build a bigger support group. If you're having a toxic relationship with your mom because she picks your kids up from school or she keeps them during the day, you might want to look into getting some reliable daycare, which, yeah, it does. It costs more money, but money, the cost of daycare, it just can't be more than your peace of mind and your mental health, your anxiety. You have to figure out what's worth it. Is it worth it to have someone else pick my kids up? You know, some daycare, some crystal stairs if you got to do that, you know, whatever it is, you have to look at your wherever you are today. If your relationship with your parents, your mom is so toxic where, you know, you're having anxiety or, you know, your mental health is at risk and you're not able to parent properly or, you know, you're having a hard time, you're in an enmeshment to where, you know, you have to do everything with your mom. It's going to take a minute to untangle all of those webs. It's not going to happen overnight. So you got to really get serious about what you want to do. If moving out is going to help you be the best adult you can be and get some of the, you know, some of those dysfunctional traits, if it's going to help you even in your parenthood, you know, because when you're living with your parents and you're a parent, and you tell your kids to do something and your parents are overriding you, or you know, it can be very, very toxic and confusing even for your children. So it's like you have to really look at it in a way that what is the responsibility of me being on my own or us being in two separate places? What is that going to cost? Some people may have their parents living with them. Their mom may live with them because she can't afford to live out on her own. You know, there has to be some boundaries put up. There has to be, because if she's living in your home, then you're the queen in that castle. So there's going to have to be some type of boundary set up. It's like, mama, you can't always, you're not going, because just because I understand you are, but you're not on in a position to be running shit because you're under my roof. So there needs to be some type of boundary set up to where I can do me and you can do you, and that there is a open communication about who's doing what, when, where, and how, and how much input you have in overall family situations. You know, it's very difficult when you guys are all living together and having that type of friction, those toxic patterns. You're not really allowing yourself freedom. So definitely, you know, branch out with those, being financially independent and getting a building a bigger support system. You know, just trying to get to a place of peace, just sitting down and looking at your situation with your mom and just jotting down some things that you are wanting to work on. Figuring out which one of these eight or the combination of which of these eight toxic traits you're experiencing with your mom, and really look at those and look at those patterns and just start to jot down some things and look at some ways that you can remedy them. Taking time for yourself, limiting your interaction. Even if you live together, maybe you need to go get a room a couple nights out the week. Maybe you need to, you know, figure out a way to spend time alone, you know, make more friends outside of your relationship. Because if you're friends with your mom and all her sisters and her friends, and you need to find some friends of your own. Start doing some things on your own, building out, building away. You know, you may all go to the same church and, you know, all those different things. So figure out some ways where you can break up some of that closeness, because there has to be a little bit of balance between closeness and individuality just for a function in relationships. So look at that. And then also, you know, if you are feeling like your mom is just over the top, just overwhelming, try to put yourself in her shoes. Because at a certain point, as you're becoming an adult and as you become a mom and you're growing up and you're getting married and you're having your own relationships, you want to try to look at your mom through her own eyes. Try to put your feet in her shoes. Be a little less judgmental about her judgmentalness, because we have to sometimes see our parents, when we're growing up, we see our moms as like, you know, this superwoman, unstoppable, independent, you know, or however you see your mom, if she was married to your dad and she's like the top dog in the house and she's managing everything and she's doing all these things, or, you know, maybe she was a little more submissive and, you know, she stayed quiet and she didn't, but she just tried to control you as a result of her and your dad maybe not having the best relationship. And so she got enmeshed with you because her man just wasn't available for her. So now you've become the topic of discussion for everything because she don't have anything better to do but to be all up in your business. You know, look and see where is she seeing her relationship with you? What is her trials and tribulations? Was she a single mom? Was she divorced? Were you a product of infidelity? You know, did she date married men? Who was your mom as an individual, as a woman? So that you can start to see a little bit more and have a little more empathy for where she is in life and why there's so much combativeness in your relationship. When you do that, it's easier to learn to forgive. You know, you can forgive people when you can feel empathy for their situation or for why they ended up being that way. Take it a step further and look at maybe the relationship between her mother and your mother. What was the relationship between your grandmother and your mom? Like, what was that? Where did this dysfunction, where did this toxic pattern, where did it start? You know, how long have these toxic things been going on? Or maybe there's a lot of secrets in your family where you have a lot of secrets where you were taught to keep secrets. Your mother kept secrets. Your grandmother kept secrets. You know, where all of this was a lifestyle of secrets. I know in the Black family, it's like, don't tell our business. You know, what goes on in the house stays in the house. You know, those types of thinking and patterns are toxic when you get to be an adult and you're trying to raise your own kids, you know? So try to look at your mom's situation, look at it through her eyes, and try to start forgiveness, you know? And a lot of these things, they're going to need therapy. You're going to have to see a therapist. You know, if you're in a place right now where things are really bad between you and your mom, and you know that, or you haven't spoken in a very long time and you are totally disconnected, but you want to reconnect, see a therapist. If you're not already seeing a therapist, try to figure out where this toxic patterns, where they're coming from, where did they start, you know, and what you can do yourself to make sure you don't start that with your own daughter, with your own children, where you're not starting these toxic patterns with your own children. You know, figuring out where you are with it and being able to forgive and understand that maybe, you know what, your mom may be the way that she is. She may never change, but you're going to have to be okay with that. You're going to have to live. So if the relationship is more important to you than just being right, figure out what that looks like. Okay, I'm going to spend time with my mom, but there's going to be certain topics that we're just not going to talk about. And it's okay. You can agree to disagree without even talking about it. It's fine. You have to resolve it in yourself. You may have a mother who may not ever want to talk about it. If the relationship with your mother is more important than you actually talking about this particular topic that turns into an explosion, then avoid it if you can. Because if the main thing you want to do is just be able to go out to eat together or spend time together, then there's no reason to bring up issues that are just going to be toxic and hurt feelings and just try to avoid it if you can, if it's not something that you feel like needs to be, you know, rectified in order for you to be able to spend time together. You know, if there's things that you can avoid that you can agree to disagree, that are not detrimental, that are not harmful in any way, then just try not to bring it up. Try just to focus on the positive things, the good things. When I had the conversation, the Life, Love, and Live Wise conversation, a lot of the women, we were all talking, and a lot of the things that were coming up were people were mothers, women. They were using their mother as a gauge to either how they wanted to be or how they didn't want to be, instead of just being. It's like, well, I don't want to do this the way my mother did because I don't want to end up like my mother. Or, you know, I want to do things the way my mother did. So if I don't do this, then I'm not going to be like her. It's like you're using your mother, who is just a human, who has made plenty of mistakes in her own life. You're using them as a gauge to figure out what you're going to do or you're not going to do. And that's just a lot to put on one person, because your mother's just a human. You know, she's going to make mistakes. So doing things like her, or I'm not going to have 4 kids or 5 kids or whatever. I don't want to have a lot of kids like my mother because I don't want to end up like my mother. Or I'm not going to have any children. I'm not going to have any children because my mom had a bunch of kids and I was, you know, grew up poor, and, you know, so I'm going to keep all my stuff to myself. I'm not having any kids, and I ended up having to raise my brothers and sisters. There's so many different scenarios. Your mom just can't be the gauge. She can't be. You're not going to have, you can't live the best you in life if you're blaming others for wherever you are, what your circumstances are, because wherever there's blame, there can't be accountability. So you are in control of your life. It's you. You're the one that makes your choices. So if your mom didn't want you to go to college and you ended up not going to college, you chose to listen to your mom and not go to college for whatever reason. So at the end of the day, you don't have your degree or whatever it is that you wanted that was your goal and your value. You don't have that because you allowed your parent to decide for you. You're accountable for that. So you can't let anyone, you can't let your mom, your parent, you can't let anyone take you from what your goals are. So you got to sit down with yourself and look in the mirror, get out a piece of paper and pencil, and write down some things that you want for yourself that have nothing to do with what your parents want for you. Because at the end of the day, they have lived their life, they are living their life, or they haven't, because they're also in toxic patterns with their family. And so they're just living out their parents' legacy, and it's affecting you. So if you want to stop this whole situation from happening again with your kids, then you're going to have to start taking accountability for your own self and start looking at your life and figuring out what it is that you need to do to get out of that toxic pattern. So those are the remedies that I have. Changing yourself, having realistic expectations, honest communication, setting boundaries, going to a therapist, being financially independent, building a bigger support system, taking time for yourself, limiting your interaction when you can, putting yourself in your mom's shoes, learning to forgive, also being respectful. Definitely, no matter what kind of mom you have, you want to, and no matter how hard it can get, you always want to just be respectful. You know, control yourself, control your tongue, control your temper, you know, and especially if you have a very combative mom, it can be extremely difficult because they're constantly coming at you, you know. So what do you do if somebody's constantly coming for you, you know? Limiting your interaction, you know, will be the best thing in that situation, just so that you can get some clarity and so that you don't have to go back and forth with the banter. Just hang up the phone. Don't listen. You got to get to a place where you are in control of your own life and you can make decisions for yourself, and you're not going to allow anyone to come in and disrupt your peace, even if it's your mom. For whatever reason it's happening, you can control it by not listening to it. You have to let people know in a respectful way, you know what? I'm not going to allow you to ruin my day. So I'm going to hang up the phone. I love you. I hope you have a great day. Click. You're going to have to do it sometimes, you know? So just being respectful and, you know, and remembering to be the mom that you want to be for your children. You know, we got to start taking more accountability for our own parenting and our own mothering. And we have to stop as women, as moms, as daughters, we just have to start being more accountable for our own lives. We do. We have to make decisions that are going to affect us in a positive way by just having that autonomy. Because we have the free will. You know, if God gives us free will, your mother has to give you free will. She can't control you. If God is not controlling you, your mama can't control you either. It's law. She cannot. No one should be in control of you. God is not even making choices for you. You are responsible for yourself. So definitely want to do that. And, you know, being comfortable and confident. And that's why the first thing that I said as a remedy is changing yourself, really building up your confidence, getting away from people that don't make you feel better about yourself. I was just looking on, I was on Instagram the other day, just scrolling, and I saw a post, and it was basically saying, like, if you were to meet your friend's family, your boyfriend's family, what would you wear? And it gave like four different options, four different outfit options. Now, you know, if you want to meet the man, your man's parents, the main person you trying to impress would be the mom, you know? And so she would be the only one that would be paying attention to what you're even wearing. And so it was like, if you're going, you're going to church to meet your boo's family for the first time, and what would you wear? And it was like four different options. Well, most of the people were picking, like, you know, different ones. Well, when I looked at it, I didn't see anything that I would have worn. For one, I'm like a jeans person. This is kind of off topic, but I'm a jeans person. So anytime you see me, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to have some type of denim combination, either jeans, a jean jacket. Even if I'm dressed up, I might have on some heels, jeans and a blazer, or a sweater, jeans, you know, jean jacket and a dress, whatever. I'm pretty much a jean person. So there were no jeans in the picture. So I basically was like, oh, this is, I mean, really whatever I want. What am I going to wear to meet my boo's parents for the first time to church? I'm going to wear whatever I want. Of course, will be, you know, church appropriate. I'm not going to have on a little mini skirt or anything like that, but I'm going to wear whatever I want. And she better catch this drip, was my response. And so I was being funny, but I got a lot of likes. A lot of people were commenting on, I commented on a post, and I was getting people interacting with me about what I said. And so I was like, okay, most of the people on there were picking their outfits, but a lot of people felt the way that I felt. And it's like, we got to get out the mindset of always mother may I. No more mother may I. It's not up to your mother. You're a grown woman. Mother-in-laws included. I'm not changing who I am or how I dress to please a mother-in-law. If she doesn't like the way that I dress, too bad. You have to be confident in yourself. If I didn't know myself, if I didn't know who I was as a person, and I wasn't confident, I probably would have picked one of the outfits even if I didn't like it. I mean, the people that picked the outfits, they probably do, they dress like that, or they, you know, there was something they felt like they would wear. So not everybody is just, you know, not confident because they picked the outfit. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, because I know who I am and I know what I want, I know what I don't want. So I can look at that and say, you know what, if my mother-in-law was to say, if I wasn't wearing one of these outfits, that she wouldn't approve of me, then that's not the family that I even want to be in. And if her son is that shallow to where he cares about what his mother thinks to the point where he's going to lose me in the relationship, then that's not a relationship that I want either. So it's like all of these little things are tests and red flags for things that are overlooked that become major issues later. If you're already getting dressed for your mother-in-law, that's an issue. It's already an issue. I'm not saying wear your coochie cutters and your braless tank top. I'm not saying that. Of course, you want to be appropriate because you're going to church. But if I'm going to go to church, I'm going to wear whatever I want, and I'm not going to be thinking about whether or not his mom is going to like what I'm wearing. I'm going to be looking the way that I want to look, that's presentable for me, that is my taste and choice, which I think that I have good taste and choice in clothes. And I'm not only is she going to be maybe possibly interviewing me, but I'm going to be interviewing her too. So it's a two-way street. So is she going to be caring about what she's wearing when she meets me? Probably not. So I'm not going to be worried about what I'm wearing to meet her. I want her to get to know me for who I am. I would want, you know, whatever my mom, his mom, whatever. Thank God my mother-in-law just doesn't care. She's like not in our business at all. She's super sweet, super helpful, and I love her. But I think that women, we have to get away from the mother may I. No more mother may I. Who are you as a woman? What is it that you want for your family, for your marriage, for your parenting, for your own kids, and for your career? It's up to you. No more mother may I. No more mother-in-law may I. No more of that. You know, you got to start feeling more confident and building more confidence in yourself to where the opinions of others matters less and less, to where you can really shine, get into the autonomy where you are your own person and you can make decisions for yourself based off of your own values and your own goals. So no more mother may I is the message of the day. I've been rambling on for about an hour now. Hope this was helpful. It was just a lot of information. And so that's why I ended up being much longer than I expected it to be. So, but that is the message of the day, is no more mother may I. Be the queen that you are in your own castle, whatever that looks like. You know, work on your relationships, love and respect your mother, and, you know, work on it. Figure out what it is that you got to work on. But that's all I have for today, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Thank you for listening. Enjoy your holiday.